I will now ask you all to come up at the same time, and Ulrika will start saying a few words, and then we will have a little discussion. So please. So we thought we would ask Ulrika to begin by saying a few words on the strategy of the government, and perhaps also comment a little bit, if you like, what Per has and the others has said, and then we can have a little interchange here. The few minutes that are left. Please, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you so much, Lars and Eba and Per, for this report. I think it's very good that you have to draw this wide scope of development, because this is also what we have to do on the political side. So it's very interesting for us to listen and to read these kind of reports, even though I understand that it's challenging both to write them and also to comment upon them. But this is the world we live in, and we have said as a government that we really want to have development cooperation, but also a strategy for policy coherence for development that is really in line with the updated knowledge. And last week we actually took a decision in government about our new policy framework for our development cooperation. And we have also, when we started 2 years ago, said that we would want to restart our work on policy coherence for development. And this is also, of course, very much in line with the assignment that we have taken on as part of the UN with the new agenda for sustainable development. So I think it's very good to see that you underline the importance of policy for global development, and that this needs to be seen now in the light of the new agenda for sustainable development. And we have said also within our Swedish policy that we want to do even more, since we also emphasize the importance of a rights-based perspective, and this is perhaps also in line with the comments of the discussants, that we really need to see to the local ownership and the local analysis when we develop our strategies, both for policy coherence but also for our development cooperation. And I think this is also important to see when we see the different sectors of the Swedish development cooperation, where democracy and human rights and institution building is a big share. But then, of course, this should also be seen in the light of the importance of having local broad ownership in the different sectors as one of the main strategies to really have these results that you have all pointed at. I think also you have all pointed at the importance of working with tax as one of the bases. I think we have come to that point, and this also is shown in the action agenda from the Addis Ababa meeting, that many of our developing partners are really now in an era where they need and can also broaden their tax base, and that we need to be part of this also in our development cooperation, but also then, of course, giving the conditions as part of our policy coherence for development to do this. And it was mentioned that we have the work within the OECD of the BEPS, but also that it should be said that we also see the importance of the UN Tax Committee, and that we have stressed that developing countries need to have some kind of fora to work within, not only as experts or at the technical level, but also political engagement. And we have also said, and this is also presented now as an assignment to SIDA, our development authority, that we want to double the support to this area of tax, given the importance. Trade, of course, I mean, we know this, it's such an important area, and Sweden has been working with it for a long time. It has not been discussed so much the past decades, but of course, given also the developments that we see now with perhaps even more of protectionism within the global discussion of trade, it's even more important to see how we can support and strengthen our partners globally to see that there are reducing of trade obstacles and also strength and capacity to really be part of the development that we want to see. And we are an active partner in the aid for trade projects, but I think this is an important area where we can also strengthen our work even more. I mentioned that we presented the policy framework for our development cooperation last week, at the end of last week, taking a decision in government, and there we have stressed the importance of institutions, and it was very interesting to listen to you presenting the report, Per, but also to the problems that you might see, and that there is a discussion, and we have had other reports also made by EBA previously that we have been looking at when emphasizing the importance of institution building and how development cooperation can be part of this with the intensified focus on public administration. And this is, of course, then also in relation to the area of tax, as was mentioned, but also that the area of statistical capacity, and this is also very much discussed within the Agenda 2030, how we can strengthen the quality of statistics. I think when we talk about what we should do within the multilateral system, but also as a country, it is important to see that the possibility to nowadays coordinate amongst donors and our developing partners has changed quite a lot. Isabella Lövin, the Minister for Development Cooperation, was present at a high-level meeting on aid and development efficiency only a couple of weeks ago. She was one among two representatives at a ministerial level, ministry level, from the donor side. So I think that this is something that we really need to emphasize even more, that we need to get back talking about a knowledge-based attitude towards our development cooperation and policy for policy coherence, that we need to understand the importance of donor coordination based on local ownership and how we do this in an efficient way. Because I think that aid efficiency is really being challenged in many parts of the world, and we know that it's even more difficult if we're going to focus on fragile and weak states. And so this is something that we need to look upon. And because we can look if Sweden is going to be in different sectors, but what's most important is, of course, the overall coordination and how we can coordinate the work that we do together. So I have some more comments. I'm speaking very fast, but okay. I think this is because it's important, I think, to have this discussion. Thank you.
Perhaps I could ask you, Per, if you have any comments to what Ulrika said on the government policy here. Do you feel that it is going in the right direction?
That remains to be seen. I mean, it's not what you say in those generally phrased policy documents that matters, but the budget. I mean, what actually to do in the field. I'll wait with my comments until I've seen the outcome. I mean, it's a fact that the budget, both for education purposes and for capacity building in public administration, has been shrinking over the last years in Sweden. So if you're going to change that now, I think that would be welcome, but I need to see the figures before I sort of give full clearance. And maybe a few short comments on the previous comments also from Jesper and from Heske. You suggested a different categorization, Jesper. You said there are proximate causes, there are fundamental causes, and among the proximate causes you enumerated investment, trade, education, and the fundamental factors was things like geography, culture, history, and institutions. Now, another way of dividing these factors is the, if you see it from the pure policy point of view, what can you change? What can you not change? Because that makes it very practical. And for instance, I mean, you can change the amount of investment that goes into the educational budget. That's fairly simple. You cannot change the religion of the country. That's a given, at least in the short run, and certainly in the medium run. As we have seen now in the field of international politics, it's difficult to change also in the very long run. But institutions can be changed. So they are not fundamental in the sense that they are given once and for all. So there is institutional change going on, and some of that may be enhanced by sort of the right form of donor support. Now, I entirely agree with Heske in her critical comments on some of the capacity building efforts that have taken place. I mean, there's no guarantee against stupidity in any area, and not even in this area. I'll tell you a very short anecdote. I learned from a colleague who's been working for the IMF for a number of years, and he was in one of the African countries, one of the very poorest countries in Africa. And coming from the IMF, of course, he visited the Ministry of Finance and sort of tried to figure out who's working here and what are they doing. And as in many other ministries of finance, he found a handful of people doing all the work and the rest just sitting there. But he also found an international consultant. If I remember correctly, coming from one of the big four, as they are, the KPMG or whatever. And these people were trying to put together a budget in this Ministry of Finance. They were literally using paper and pencil when trying to add up the budget. They didn't even have computer aid. No Excel, no spreadsheets, and so just paper and pencil. And so he went to this international expert and asked him, what are you doing here? I mean, what are you engaged in? What kind of work? And this guy replied, I'm writing a report on the transition from cash-based to accrual-based accounting. And, of course, that's not the right thing to do in the Ministry of Finance, where people are trying to put together a budget using paper and pencil. And that's probably very costly. I mean, expensive international consultant, and of course, of little or no avail. He should have given them a computer. He should have taught them how to use an Excel spreadsheet, and so that they get the sums right. But his personal incentives were different. So I mean, given the right incentives and given the right consultants, you may come up with a better result. And for instance, in the area of budget institutions, the gains can be huge compared to the costs of the consultancy. I wouldn't sort of discard this category altogether, but it takes the right format, of course, to be successful. With Ulrika's comments, I have nothing to argue. I mean, coordination is obviously very welcome from the donor side as well as from the recipient side. I mean, in order to reduce the administrative burden on both sides, so that's obviously a very important aspect of how we deliver aid. One thing that we might argue about is the sort of the sustainability framework that the new policy is presented in, and of course that's how it's done in the international arena. The goals that are supposed to guide us for the next 15 years are called the Sustainable Development Goals. But there's a risk in this focus on sustainability that everything must be phrased in sustainability terms. Even policy issues that do not match sustainability particularly well. For instance, I have noticed in one of the documents that there has been a translation from democratic government to sustainable government. The implicit assumption is obviously that only democracy is sustainable in the long run. But we have seen lots of historical examples with dictatorships that have lasted for a very long time. So that's not a very good translation to the new terminology.
I totally agree.